You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Bulldog just mentioned playing guitar Friday night. That's a clip from his last show. That's what he says. He gets right. When they give him a chance to talk, look out. Right. On the line now is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Armando Salguero. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. Armando, how is the Metris? I'm sure you've been given one. Considering this association, and it must be beautiful to drive.
Well, it's wonderful, and I didn't know there is such a thing as a Metris, to be honest with you.
Now we all do. You
know. We just found out about 45 seconds ago.
So. I bet it's great. I bet it's great.
I'm sure it gets very good gas mileage.
So, Armando, I mean, it's great to talk to you. Great to hear your voice again. What is it like covering this team?
So you know root canal, correct?
You're unfortunately familiar? Yes.
I've heard. I haven't experienced it, so yeah.
You're familiar with endoscopy? You know this? Combine those two and multiply it 14 times with no sort of laughing gas or any sort of, you know,
no anesthetic.
No. No, that's what it's like. It's bad. It's interminable, basically. I've given up on covering the 2019 Miami Dolphins. I'm covering the 2020 offseason already.
Yeah.
You know, I was traveling early in September, maybe middle of September, and I heard Gary Thorne, longtime broadcaster, and he's been doing Orioles games for many years, interviewed. And, you know, home team broadcaster usually is one to sort of soften the blow. And I'm telling you, how you're talking is reminding me of his. It made such an impression on me, the way he was just so blunt. It was like, no, the farm system's really barren. There's nothing coming. This is brutal. Guys, it's hell on earth. He's like, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to get fired. You have no such issues here, Armando, but it sounds about the same to me.
Well, but the thing is, after a while, you got to understand, the Miami Dolphins lost their season opener 59-10. And then they came back and improved against the New England Patriots by losing, like, by 42 points. So, after a while, you feel bad just pounding on them because it is the players' fault. They are not making plays. It is the coaching staff's fault. They are not figuring it out. But you know what? It's basically a AAA team out there against the New England Patriots. And it's like, this isn't right. You know, people in Buffalo will see on Sunday. I'm wondering not if, or how many points the Dolphins will score, but whether they can score. I don't see, you know, the big deal down here is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the new starting quarterback this week. And I'm thinking, so what? You know, he's still going to struggle against that Bills defense. It's not fair.
Armando, what's he been like? You know, Fitzpatrick is loved up here, and he's had such an interesting career, you know, never on a good team, but he's got this fan base. He's got, you know, he's like a cult following with Fitzpatrick. And he seems to be somebody that could he can make anybody laugh, you know? Like, is he grim? Is he himself? Like, who is Ryan Fitzpatrick right now?
He's awesome. Because he is in a no-win situation, as are, you know, 99% of the players in that locker room, and he has not complained once. He has not smiled once. It is amazing. That guy, if I had a team and I wanted an elder statesman quarterback to be the backup to kind of mentor a younger quarterback, a young quarterback, that's the guy that I would pick, because he gets it. He's a leader. The thing about it is, which is amazing, he has leadership skills before he steps on the field. I mean, guys just accept that he's a leader because of the way that he conducts himself in the building, in meetings, in the locker room. It's just something that is good for a team. And really, I think if he wanted to extend his career beyond this year and accept the fact that he needs to be a backup quarterback, he could do that with a bunch of teams.
I know we talked in the summertime, Armando, about this quarterback situation. Josh Rosen had been acquired. We know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. And just last week, the coach announced that Rosen was the starting quarterback for the rest of the year, and that lasted all but a half of the Washington game. How do you see that? I mean, is everything just circling the drain so it doesn't really matter? Or do you think they're just making a mistake not keeping Rosen on the field and seeing if he can play at all?
Yeah, I think that they have said, Brian Flores has said, we have a good evaluation on Josh Rosen. And he said this on Monday. He said, we have a good evaluation based on the offseason, the OTA, training camp, the preseason, and three starts. And the same guy that said that on Wednesday, benched him. So what does that tell you about what the Miami Dolphins think of Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. You look, the Dolphins are going to pick a quarterback in the first round of the draft next year, regardless of whether Rosen was good or not this year. But now they are certain to do that because Josh Rosen is not the answer. He's not the future. He's a young, developing quarterback, but not developing as well as everybody needs down here.
One other thing that comes to my mind from one of our earlier conversations is you pointing out something that Flores said about Rosen in the preseason or in training camp that was sort of dubious, the way it sounded. Like, why was this so stark here at this early stage? Do you think, it sounds like you do, Armando, you think Flores reflects the organization when it comes to him, and would he have, you know, the full authority to make that move without it?
I think that the organization, you know, ownership, Stephen Ross, the general manager, Chris Greer, they've given Brian Flores, you know, basically the 53-man roster, and he makes decisions on who starts week to week and so forth. They don't mess with that. They can, obviously, yeah, if they wanted to. But you know what? It's not like he's doing something outrageous by benching Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen is bad right now. I mean, like, bad, bad. He's barely completing 50% of his throws. He's thrown five interceptions, only one touchdown. He threw two interceptions last week. They were getting shut down. Fitzpatrick comes in and they score 14 points in the fourth quarter, and it was like the Energizer Bunny came into the lineup and everybody started playing. And granted, it's against the Washington Redskins, who were similarly winless at the time, but you don't ding Fitzpatrick for that. You kind of appreciate the fact that he was doing something that Rosen could not. And so in any other NFL outpost with a team that is trying to accomplish something, it's not a question who starts this week against the Buffalo Bills. The better quarterback starts. and the hotter quarterback starts, and the guy that gives you the best chance to win starts, and that is not Josh Rosen.
All right. So let me ask you this question about Flores and about Rosen, Armando. Is it, maybe I should separate them, just quickly, is it 0% he's on the roster next year there, in your opinion? Like, is there a less than zero or non-zero chance that Rosen would be in a Dolphins uniform next year, or is it just going to be over?
Well, so he's going to be on the roster with all likelihood when training camp opens next year because he's cheap, he's under contract. And that means nothing to the Dolphins. That doesn't mean you're married to the guy. Now, is he going to be on the final roster to be the backup to whatever rookie they draft, be it Tua or Justin Herbert or somebody else, Joe Burrow? I don't know. That depends. That's up to Josh Rosen. Play. Deserve it.
Okay.
Earn it.
Okay, right. The contract's the right point. How about the coach? Like, these coaches, we know, we've been through so many coaches here, and we know their record at all times, you know? We had Doug Marrone, who it meant a lot to win a meaningless game at the end of the year. 9-7, that meant 9-7, you know? And these coaches, like, they know their records. Their records sort of are their resumes. Here's Flores, who's just, what is he going to go, 0-16 to start his career? Like, what chance does this guy have to overcome that down the road, either with the Dolphins or anywhere else? And you know, from what you see, Armando, does he deserve really like a really patient, long-term approach here?
Well, suppose he goes 0-16 this year. Again, any other place, 0-16, people are looking at you sideways, right? Apparently, he is safe through this 0-16 year, if that's what happens. But immediately at the start of next year, after they've spent over $100 million in cap space, added 3 first-round draft picks, 2 second-round draft picks, and, you know, supposedly the tank is over, he needs to win. Because if he doesn't next year, his career with the Miami Dolphins is going to be very, very short. As a matter of fact, as short as 2 years.
Right. I wonder just how hard that'll be. I mean, that's a bounty of picks, no doubt, but you have to hit on, I mean, the chance of hitting on all of those are not great. You could, but it's just not likely. But you got to hit on enough of them, and then what else is there? You know, like what moving forward is there to build around so that you can – you know, try to turn around from if it's 0-16, if it's that bad, to, you know, I don't know, what would progress would be like winning 5 games from there, I think, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they got to do better than 5-11, because that would make Flores like,
that's right,
5-27 for his career.
That's right.
Yikes. and again, they keep thinking about the $120 million in cap space that they're going to have. They're going to have more cap space than anybody else in the NFL. And the general manager said, we're not going to sit on the money. The problem is you can't really build a team through free agency. And as you just said, Bulldog, draft picks does not equal good players, no matter how high the picks are. Draft picks are opportunities to get a good player. But they're not a good player 100% of the time.
Yeah, that is the point. That is my question too about the record. Like 5-11 is a lot better than 0-16, but he's 5-27. Hugh Jackson,
right?
You know, one day is like Hugh Jackson is 1-31, and every time you mentioned his name, like the record was attached to it. Good luck to this guy. I mean,
right?
That's tough. So it's going to be. It'd have to be a huge improvement to be able to overcome it. And if he gets that, then maybe he has a chance to last there. So
correct. Correct. Guys that oversee tanks or oversee terrible couple of seasons, they rarely live to see the other end of that, the team coming out of it.
Right. Well, that's so interesting because, like, this is a guy, you know, from New England, and I don't know, I guess I felt like they were pretty satisfied to land him as their coach, and I don't know, I'm just sitting here right now, I don't like his chances at all of surviving that. If he's got to be better than going from 0 wins to 5, I mean, I don't know, good luck to the guy.
On the other hand, He got a 5-year contract. He's making at least $5 million a year. It's guaranteed. If someone offered one of you guys, $25 million to be Brian Flores, I think we all would say, sign me up.
Armando, you don't know what I wouldn't do just for that mattress. I mean, you're so right. Even a mattress, maybe, for me, in my case. I might even settle for a mattress, let alone a mattress. All right, Armando, I always look forward to our conversations. I know Bulldog does, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
One of our favorites. I hope you do, too. Thanks a lot, and maybe we'll see you. We should see you on Sunday. That'd be great.
That'd be awesome, and I always love going to Buffalo, and this time is no different.
Very good. Look forward to seeing you Sunday.
All right, man.
That was – do you want to do this one?
Yeah, I got it. That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Armando Salguero. Insider calls are brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz.
You tell me if this doesn't line up, but like that point about the coaches and their records, it's Housley a little bit. Like by a certain point last year – What's a good? It's really the team first, and then maybe the coach underneath it. Like, what's a good result? How many points is good here? And then that didn't ever come to fruition. And what kind of improvement the next year? We're talking about whether Housley goes. Well, what kind of total would they need to be able to think about salvaging it? And you know,
at some point,
there's no way out.
The appearances like sort of trump whether you think the guy's a good coach or not. You know, and you if you've set him up. Here, the way they've set this guy up in Miami, it's just tough to take, you know? I mean, Hugh Jackson, I guess, eventually, he made a hole he couldn't get out of for in a variety of ways. I guess really Hard Knocks sort of exposed some of that, so he became less of a sympathetic figure. But I know, like, at the outset of that, I felt like this is not fair. You're gutting your franchise, and you're going to hold it against the coach. It doesn't seem right. Like, I know you need somebody to do the job, so I guess that's just really the end of it. Somebody's got to do the job. The money is great, but it just seems like a tough fate to meet. If you're set up to not win at all in 1 year, how much better, with all your $100 million of free agency money and everything, I don't know, I'm just how much better are you supposed to be after you go winless?
You make a coaching change, you give the appearance of a fresh start. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of candidates you could think about. There's just no, in Housley's case and other cases, there's just no reason to stay with the guy. Yeah. If you can afford to pay off the contract, which every sports owner can, then you just don't need it. You just can't have it almost. You're just doomed. The guy is doomed. I don't know. It really shouldn't be like that. It should be, is he really good?
Right.
But pro sports is already like the talent pool has already been so filtered through that the people up there are close to each other. Look how close the teams manage to be every year. You know, like they're all the same almost. They have different philosophies, but there's no reason why the Dolphins or any team really couldn't just change out their coach and replace him with one of 100 people, you know, or any NHL team. It should be something. Well, we see it. We see it in sports. Yeah. You see coaching changes all the time. We've had one already in the NFL this year. There might be more. Atlanta's guy, I think, is on thin ice.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
He's a defensive coordinator, and their defense is horrible. I like the Falcons this year because defense, you know, bounces around a lot year to year, and the Falcons have a good offense. So what's happened? They have a good offense, and it's not good enough. They lose, what are they, 1-5? What is Atlanta? Are they 1-5?
Hang on 1 second here. I can get that for you. They are, 1-5.
I watched they won the game against the Eagles at night. That's their only win. And they pulled that out on a fourth down pass, or else they could be 0-6. I watched a lot of that game with Arizona. Did you guys see any of that? Joe, did you watch that? Murray's good. I mean, he is good. I know Atlanta's defense, but he is good, that guy. They're at the Giants this week, and that game ended. I was bummed out by this. I was really enjoying that game. I was at my brother-in-law's house. He has Sunday ticket. We were going back and forth between 49ers-Rams, a game I was excited for that kind of flamed out. It was just defense. And Cowboys-Jets, which was the same thing. It was just, you know, it got interesting. But
it did get interesting.
It was a great game.
Penalties marred it by the end, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the other game because the Dallas, you know, the Dallas game was just really boring. And so Atlanta, Arizona is good. And Arizona scores late to go up 34-27. And here comes Atlanta, and they're kind of moving at will. You know what happened?
I don't.
They scored out a touchdown pass to Devonta Freeman and then missed the extra point.
Right. Yeah, I did know that. I saw the highlights.
And there was still like a minute left or so. There was time for you to wonder if Arizona would score again before overtime, but like just more game. I want more of this game.
Right.
And I
but
was
you didn't get it really the extra.
I was
point just
I felt
sort of
cheated.
Ended it. Yeah. Right.
I was thinking of writing a letter. I didn't know who to write it to.
People do that.
Who do I write it to?
Write letters.
The kicker?
I mean, really, it's his fault, although I didn't see the snap or the hold.
He kicked the laces.
Well, then that's the holder's fault.
I should write a letter to the Atlanta Falcons holder.
You got
to
spin the ball. Yeah, you can't have him kick the laces.
All right. Well, we're talking way more than usual about the opponent, I think, it seems, this week. At least when it's not New England. When it's New England, we talk a lot about New England. But the Dolphins just seem like this team that we've maybe never seen the likes of in the NFL. And if I'm the Bills, I mean, they always say don't pay attention to the noise. Holy cow, how hard is that? It's a little bit more challenging here. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a team that's being described in these, well, a root canal plus an endoscopy, if that's how you pronounce it, times 14 with no anesthetic.
Right.
That's an interesting way to put it.
AAA team.
Triple A team
against major leaguers, yeah.
Led by Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's just toughing it out, I guess. 803-0550 for your thoughts. That thing from 3 o'clock.
Oh yeah, got no, the thing. I'm here for that.
You ready for the thing from 3 o'clock?
I mean, if you are,
yeah, I might be. I'm. It's there.
Okay,
it's there. Sabres tonight. Sabres at Ducks. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock pregame on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, yeah, I know what they want. They want to play 18, too. You know, obviously, from our perspective, it's all about player safety. Adding another game doesn't equate to player safety at all. It's hard enough to play now, including a Thursday night game that we have to endure as well. So there's a lot of things that we'll probably have to transpire, you know, starting with healthcare and advancing that from the 5 years that you currently get after a game, because you start adding games to people's bodies, the career is going to get even shorter than what it is right now. Put guys at more risk of acquiring an injury, because we do have 100% injury rate. And then so there would have to be something on the back end that makes sense to where medically that we're covered no matter what happens and don't have to worry about that cost, because that's what ends up, just like every American, that can end up bankrupting you when you're done playing this game.
All right. Lorenzo Alexander, smart guy with a conscience. We got room for as many of those guys as are out there. The 17-game schedule is talked about again. The league apparently wants that, as he's saying, well, of course they do. We want 18. I saw a story on one of the fantasy sites I use. There'll be headlines, and the headline was preseason concussions up 44%. So I clicked on it and started to read it, and the first paragraph or whatever was that there were, I'm not positive of the numbers, but maybe 30 concussions documented in the preseason last year and like 44 this year, constituting this increase. And then it went on to say that there were fewer knee injuries this year than last year. And there was one other thing where it got better, so to speak. And I just thought it was interesting. Like, somebody with the league went, of course you would write it like this. We went and told you all these other things that were good, and then you had to go and lead with the fact that concussions were up. I never know what to do with those stats because it's the league that tells you whether a concussion is a concussion. And so, you know, you can tell the league can tell you whatever it wants about concussions, but that's not, I mean, they lie all the time. Why would you believe them? Whatever it is. You can't believe the NFL. You can't believe football. You can't believe sports, you know, like necessarily. And so, really, without that, who cares what they say? You know it's dangerous.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do with their statistics ever.
Yeah. The 17-game thing, I mean, you heard Lorenzo there. I mean, I you know, there's going to have to be a lot that's going to have to happen, and he's already, you know suggesting extending health care beyond what they already get once their careers are over and like that. All of that, like, to me, any talk about changing the schedule, it's a part of what will end up being the negotiation toward a next CBA. And, like, you know, it's been pretty peaceful sounding. Like, a lot of people who seem to be in the know seem to be complimenting everyone for how smoothly it's gone and that there's been very little rancor. But, like, we'll see. Like, if the league pushes for more games and what do the players want in exchange? Like, more health care is a great idea. Getting rid of the Thursday package would be a great idea, I think, for the health. If you want to be interested in the health of players, not having them play games 3 days after they just played one, or with 3 days in between, really, 3 days off, might be a good place, I would suggest, to start. But, you know, that's TV and that's big money. So I doubt that they would get there. The league's marijuana policy, to me, would be something that would be on the table for that, because you've got more and more players that formerly have played. I guess the latest would be Percy Harvin, who basically said, like, I got high constantly when I was in the league.
Didn't he say before every game?
Yeah, just and I don't know, like, I didn't go deep on that to find if that was for, you know, pain relief or if it was just like where his headspace felt best going to play a game. Like, that sounds a little dubious to me, but still, like, I think the reliance on opioid painkillers versus the benefits that can be derived from safely using marijuana medicinally, I think is something that, like, if I were involved in the league, that would be like something that'd be a hill I'd be ready to die on, I think, because the opioid thing is so dangerous, not to mention the expense of it. And I think, you know, a lot of guys have you know, suggested, and I think it's been proven, that there are great benefits to using marijuana appropriately for the purpose of recovery and rest. And it just, you know, it's a much safer way to go about it than using the prescription painkillers.
There you go. There are a couple takes for you. Sometimes I think listeners really miss out not hearing us, like, from 2 to 3, which is not broadcast. But we had the charm versus smarm argument today off the air.
That was an argument.
No, I don't mean argument. Conversation.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, often I think we both intentionally stay quiet about certain things because you want to have the one conversation be on the air.
Yep.
That one, you could say, was wasted. Maybe we come back to it.
Yeah.
Well, is smarm charmed?
I'm trying to remember what I liked what I said, but I don't remember what it was now.
That smarm is charm gone sideways.
Right. That you can... You
gone awry.
I think you, they're not the same, but I think smarm starts out as charm, and then charm, it just goes too far and it becomes overbearing, and that's when smarm rears its head. So smarm is, yeah, charm gone sideways is a good way to sum it up.
Also, we were talking about breadcrumbs.
Yes, we were.
Panko breadcrumbs. How did that start?
Well, you mentioned that you made, and you said this, I think, on the air. I don't know if it was with Rob or someone else.
Chicken fingers.
You made these chicken tenders, and you had some. And I asked you, like, well, what did you, like, made chicken tenders? Like, does that mean you went to the grocery and bought some chicken tenders and baked them? No. You breaded them yourself? Like, that's okay. That's a step up. And I was waiting to hear panko, because I had, on Monday, I made scallops with fettuccine Alfredo. Owen and I love scallops. And when I was at the store getting the scallops, I thought to go buy panko breadcrumbs and thought, oh, no, I'm sure we have those at home. We didn't. And I was bummed out. I had regular breadcrumbs and it was fine, but like I
not the same.
No, the panko is just a step up.
Do you know what panko is? You know what it means?
I don't know. I don't.
It's from white bread.
Okay.
And it's like fried and it's just created. You can't. They say I read this. You cannot like just by crushing toasting bread and then crushing it all up. You can't really recreate panko. Like there's a certain feature or something. And you know where the term is from, panko?
It's named after Bill Pankowitz, who invented the method of preparing the breadcrumbs.
Let me see. I have four choices written down. Let me see if that's one of the choices. You know, that's kind of close to one of them. Why don't we just play a game and I'll read you the four choices and you tell me which one is the true one. I texted Jeremy to say the Buddy Knicks game will sue this panko question I have for copyright infringement, and he said, "Well, I'm still waiting to get a call from Howard Stern." So here is the game. Which of these answers is the correct answer to where panko breadcrumbs comes from? Ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
Number one. Ready? Panko breadcrumb game music.
I feel like
there needs to be something else.
Yeah, I think that's
we're missing an ingredient.
Yeah, I think we need a little. I don't know what qualifies as breadcrumb music.
This delay could only mean Joe is looking for a certain song or a certain bump.
Yeah, he doesn't want to just play that Tom Petty jam again. He's
trying to although that could work too.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know. Whatever.
What did you want?
I was looking for a certain. I was looking for a certain theme song that I think was for. See, now I can't even remember. I thought it was for like an old Price is Right theme, but it wasn't that. So I don't even. I have a tune in my head that I can't pick.
Let's hear it.
This is fine.
Later.
Now
later.
This is in my head. I'll figure it out later.
All right.
Maybe you'll sing it for us. Right. You have your show tonight.
Yes, I do.
You'll get it. Where does panko come from? Number one. It derives from a French technique called pancois, which involves coating meats in egg wash and then breadcrumbs.
It's respectable.
Number two, it's from a Japanese. It's from two Japanese words for bread and powder, pan and ko, panko.
I like that too.
Number three,
these are good.
It's an ingredient created and made famous by Chicago chef Art Panko. That's close to the
close
one you guessed.
Close to Bill Pankowitz.
I'm thinking right now you think that's probably it. Number four. Trisha Nixon, who was the daughter of Richard and Pat Nixon. Richard Nixon was the president of the United States.
He resigned.
He resigned.
Yeah.
That's right.
Ahead of what he was like impeachment.
He was headed toward impeachment.
Right.
But he resigned, so he was technically not impeached.
Right.
His daughter, Trisha... Her favorite food as a toddler was pancakes, and her mother, Pat Nixon, the first lady, would coat pancakes in breadcrumbs. She had a technique or a recipe from her mother, apparently, and the child used to say, panko, panko, when she wanted pancakes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then her father, when he was president, told this story once at a benefit near his hometown of Whittier, California. A diner then started making panko in his honor at this diner. And you'd use the same coating on other foods. Eventually, panko breadcrumbs were a household name. That's number four.
That's number four. You did a lot of work on number four.
Copying that from the actual story?
Yeah.
And then reading it to you?
That was... there's so much there that it can't possibly be real. Like, the game here is... You're overwhelming me with information there that... You might be inclined to go, there's no way you took the time to make all that up, but I know you, and you did. So four is out.
Poor four.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to reveal how little I know about the Japanese language. I mean, I don't know.
What are you worried about? If somebody judging you because you don't know Japanese?
That pan and ko aren't exactly bread and crumb. I like that as the winner. I think pan and ko.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the correct one?
Pan is bread, and ko is flour or powder.
Okay.
So panko.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. I win. Joe, I won.
Game's over.
What do I win?
Nothing.
No. Admiration.
I mean, you would have been admired, but you made that confession about not knowing Japanese that well.
Right.
So people will. I'm not sure how much credit you'll actually get.
Well, I thought that sounded authentic. I thought that was.
No, you were right. You win. Yeah. You got it.
All right.
It's not Art Panko and it's not Pen Kwa either. Yeah. Not that there couldn't be a Pen Kwa. Yes, Joe? Right, Joe?
Exactly. This was the music I was looking for, by the way. This is not Price is Right. And I don't know the show.
Wait a minute.
So I don't know why I've heard it, but.
I don't either.
Joker's Wild? I must have heard it somewhere else, somehow. But.
I think this is early Joker's Wild.
Okay. Sure.
I'll have to go find the other Joker's Wild thing.
Early Joker's Wild, yeah. After they use this, they turn to an Anne Murray song on Joker's Wild as their theme. That's not true.
I love that show, though. Jack Barry. And then Jim Peck. Remember Jim Peck?
Not really, no.
I don't know if Jack Barry got sick, but like the show continued and they just changed hosts.
I remember the show. I just don't remember.
Yeah. We should probably stop talking for a while. Okay. Yes, okay. The Sabres play tonight in Anaheim. We'll talk more about them. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
We don't change our game at home or on the road or what the score is. We want to maintain speed. We want to maintain puck speed. We want to maintain pressure on the opposition defensively, and maybe we didn't get the shots we could have taken in the third period, but we definitely kept forechecking, and it's just part of who we want to be. Sabres hockey should run from beginning to end, no matter the score.
Ralph Krueger and the Sabres up tonight in Anaheim. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock pregame with Brian Koziol, Paul Hamilton tonight on the coverage. Then tomorrow it's Sabres Kings. More on them next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Our incredible Panko breadcrumb game went a little long, so this will have to be very short. I just read through Sean McDermott today. They send the transcript out every day.
Yep.
It's just, you know, like the shoe is on the other foot right now. It's for years it was Belichick and how this McDermott, the specific thing he didn't do, but how Belichick would like call out Bills players in the conference call. And,
right, Schoble and Josh Reed were two of his favorites in a certain era there when those guys were here, yeah.
How good, you know, the team is, even when it was really not good. And apart from the like specific names, McDermott is doing that. It's fine. It's just what it should be. It's just not anything, you know, real. You know, it's about as far as the Dolphins are concerned anyway. They're a good team. You can see how they're improving because they played Washington last week. Therefore, I guess they're better now because Washington is way worse than the Patriots. It's just what you would expect. As Sal pointed out earlier, he didn't mention John Brown being hurt, which we have him as limited today with a groin injury.
So they think Sal was guessing, really, that probably happened at practice. Otherwise, he would have been mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and that could be anything. Like, if he's practicing and he pulls up, that could be nothing. Just call it a day, or it could be a lot. I mean,
nobody's out there watching, so we don't know if he, you know, he hobbled off to the room or, you know, hung out and still watching. It was just shut it down for today. We'll be fine. You know, we have no idea what kind of severity that is. So limited in that way for today until we find something more out tomorrow. It's kind of vague. We don't really know what it means.
But a groin could make you wonder if it could be something that would cause him to miss time as opposed to certain other injuries, I guess. I won't ask you to name any. Like I said, we were short on time. We'll get the update in and then talk more about Sunday's game. And also, I want to give you a quarterback comparison or two here. See, just run a couple things by you there.
All right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You want to talk Bills? We're at 803-0550. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.